From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Withholding money or seizing money from the people of Gensler in that name is unjust and unfair and an atrocity against the Afghan people.
President Biden's facing mounting pressure for seizing $7 billion of Afghanistan's Federal Reserves frozen in the United States. Biden's giving half the money to families of September 11th victims while Afghanistan faces a humanitarian catastrophe. We'll speak with the founders of a new group called Unfreeze Afghanistan and a woman who lost her son in the World Trade Center attack. She says the money should stay in Afghanistan. Plus, we go to Texas, where early voting's begun in the state's closely watched March 1st primary. It's the first election since Texas passed a highly restrictive voting law. We'll speak with the head of Common Cause Texas, as well as congressional candidate Greg Cesar, who just picked up endorsements from Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
When we were working to take care of people during the pandemic and people like Governor Abbott and his cronies were working on discriminating and banning abortions and targeting our families.
Plus, we get the latest on the crisis on the Russia-Ukraine border. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Russia's defense ministry says it's withdrawing some of its troops from near Ukraine's border in a sign the Kremlin may be de-escalating the threat of an invasion. The announcement came as German Chancellor Olaf Scholz arrived in Moscow for meetings with Russian President Vladimir Putin. And as Russia's top diplomat said, the prospect of a diplomatic solution is, quote, far from exhausted. At the United Nations, Secretary General Antonio Guterres said, after talks with foreign ministers of Russia and Ukraine, diplomacy remains the only option to resolving the crisis.
The time is now to defuse tensions and de-escalate actions on the ground. There is no place for incendiary rhetoric. Public statements should aim to reduce tensions, not inflame them.
On Monday, the Biden administration ordered the evacuation of all remaining personnel from the U.S. embassy in Ukraine's capital, Kiev, and urged all U.S. citizens to leave Belarus and part of Moldova, saying an invasion of Ukraine could still come at any time. California health officials will preserve a statewide mask mandate for K-12 schools through at least the end of the month, even as they're allowing a universal indoor mask mandate to expire today. Daily COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations across the U.S. are continuing to decline from January's record highs, but remain near the peak of last summer's Delta-driven surge. An average of 2,400 people are dying of coronavirus infections each day in the United States. In Canada, authorities in Alberta arrested 11 people Monday who they say were prepared to use violence to maintain a blockade of anti-vaccine protesters at a major border crossing into Montana. Police said they recovered guns, body armor and a machete from the group. Monday's arrest came as Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked a national public order emergency that'll give him greater powers to quell protests and blockades.
We are not limiting people's freedom of speech. We are not limiting freedom of peaceful assembly. We are not preventing people from exercising their right to protest legally. We are reinforcing the principles, values, and institutions that keep all Canadians free.
In Australia, thousands of nurses in New South Wales have walked off the job in the first strike taken by Australian nurses in almost a decade. They're demanding limits on nurse-to-patient ratios and better pay as healthcare workers grapple with Australia's first major surge of COVID-19 pandemic.
We deserve better. We need more staff on the wards. Our patients aren't safe. Most of the time, the staff are overworked, and it's stressed, and it's just not fair. It's not fair. We don't ask for much.
We've been struggling. A lot of our nurses have been burnt out, doing doubles, struggling every day.
A coalition of more than 60 African civil society groups has written an open letter to Moderna calling on the billionaire CEO to immediately withdraw vaccine patents his company has filed in South Africa. The groups say Moderna's attempt to enforce intellectual property rights poses long-term barriers to the production of life-saving mRNA vaccines on the African continent. For well over a year, Moderna, Pfizer, and other drug makers have lobbied successfully to block a waiver on COVID vaccine patent rights at the World Trade Organization. In Sudan, government forces shot and killed two protesters Monday in the latest violent crackdown on demonstrations demanding an end to military rule and the establishment of a civilian government. Sudanese forces opened fire with live ammunition after protesters approached the presidential palace waving national flags and carrying red balloons to mark Valentine's Day. The latest killings bring the number of people killed in protests to at least 81 since a coup by Sudan's military in October. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett traveled to Bahrain Monday, becoming the first Israeli head of state ever to visit the Gulf Kingdom. Bennett met earlier today with his counterpart, Prince Salman bin Hamad Al Khalifa. Bahrain is widely seen as a proxy for Saudi Arabia, a country with whom Israel has no formal diplomatic ties. In Mexico, members of the media took to the streets across the country for a second round of massive protests in response to ongoing murders of Mexican journalists. Five journalists have been assassinated in just the first 6 weeks of this year. José Luis Gamboa, Margarito Martinez Esquivel, Eber López Vázquez, Lourdes Maldonado López, and Roberto Toledo Barrera. Eber López is the latest victim killed in the southern state of Oaxaca just last week. A vigil was held in their memory in Mexico City.
Los periodistas quisiéramos encontrar en el gobierno federal.
We journalists would like to see the federal and state governments show solidarity with the press. But instead, we see indifference and, in some cases, direct attacks.
The United States government has formally requested the arrest and extradition of former Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez on drug trafficking charges. Overnight, Honduran police and military forces surrounded his home in the capital, Tegucigalpa. The Honduran Supreme Court is scheduled to hold a hearing this morning to rule on Hernandez's capture and extradition to the U.S. Hernandez and his right-wing political party have for years been accused of human rights violations, corruption, and ties to drug trafficking. Despite those reports, Hernandez remained a key U.S. ally in Central America. His presidential term ended less than a month ago. House Democrats are asking the Biden administration to justify its use of Title 42, a Trump-era policy which allows the U.S. to expel recently arrived migrants without due process. Since 2020, it's been used to expel more than 1.2 million asylum seekers. 33 Democrats signed a letter to CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky Monday demanding an end to the policy, which they write is directly responsible for sending thousands of immigrants back to situations where they face assault, rape, and even murder. Immigrants from across the United States on Monday walked out of workplaces and schools and didn't spend any money as they marked a day without immigrants. Rallies took place in New York, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Houston, and dozens of other U.S. cities. The Valentine's Day action was organized by 23-year-old TikTok star Carlos Eduardo Espina to pressure the Biden administration to enact immigration reform. He's an immigrant from Uruguay who came to the United States when he was 5 years old. He spoke from outside the White House Monday as crowds kept growing larger.
All these people are out here to support the fight for immigration reform. They came from all over the country to support. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, my people. We'll keep fighting.
Donald Trump's longtime accounting firm has broken ties with the Trump Organization, saying a decade of financial statements should no longer be relied upon. Newly revealed court documents show the accounting firm Mazars said it would no longer access Trump's accountants, citing a conflict of interest. This comes as New York Attorney General Letitia James is investigating whether the Trump Organization inflated the values of its properties to obtain loans and then reduced them to evade taxes. A New York district judge said Monday he's prepared to throw out a lawsuit by former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, who sued the New York Times and its former editorial page editor for libel. The Times argued in court that its editorial falsely linking Palin to a 2011 mass shooting was an honest mistake that was corrected quickly. Judge Jed Rakoff said Monday Palin's legal team failed to prove the Times showed actual malice, a high bar for defamation cases against public figures. He promised to throw out a jury's verdict even if it rules in favor of Palin, who has said she may appeal the case all the way to the Supreme Court. And in Washington, D.C., the father of one of the victims of the 2018 mass shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, was arrested Monday during a peaceful protest demanding the Biden administration take action to curb gun violence. Manuel Oliver, the father of 17-year-old Parkland shooting victim Joaquin Guac Oliver, climbed a 150-foot-high construction crane and unfurled a banner that displayed a picture of his son and a message to President Biden reading, 45,000 people died from gun violence on your watch. His protest came on the fourth anniversary of the Parkland massacre, Valentine's Day 2018, as youth-led gun control groups launched an online tool called the Shock Market to track U.S. gun violence. A video unveiling the website features shocking statistics about U.S. firearm deaths and injuries in the year since Biden took office.
There is an explosive market to watch in America. With numbers trending off the charts and forecasts that have no end in sight.
And thanks to a lack of action from Congress and a lack of urgency from the White House,
this is what it looked like after President Biden's first year. We call it the shock market.
And as the father of Joaquin Oliver, who was murdered 4 years ago in the Portland shooting,
President Biden, I call these unacceptable.
The administration keeps an eye on a lot of numbers and indicators. So let's remind them that when these go up, lives come crashing down. No one should have to experience gun violence like my family did.
It's the voice of Manuel Oliver, who co-founded the gun control group Change the Ref with his wife, Patricia. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, we begin today's show looking at the crisis along the Russia-Ukraine border. Russia has announced it's pulling back some troops from the border in a possible effort to de-escalate the standoff, but Russia's moving ahead with military exercises in Belarus and the Black Sea. On Monday, Russian television aired footage of Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov urging Russian President Vladimir Putin to continue and intensify diplomatic negotiations. Also on Monday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said Ukraine may drop its bid to join NATO, saying membership may have only been a dream. The United States has reportedly been warning allies Russia could invade Ukraine as soon as Wednesday. That's tomorrow, February 16th. Ukraine's president responded by announcing February 16th would become a day of unity for Ukrainians. The United States has also urged all U.S. citizens to leave Ukraine, as well as Belarus and parts of Moldova. The State Department's also moved its remaining staff from Kiev to a temporary site in western Ukraine, in the city of Lviv, due to the Russian military buildup. To talk more about the crisis, we're joined by Medea Benjamin, the co-founder of Copenc. Welcome to Democracy Now!, Medea. Can you talk about the latest developments around Ukraine and Russia and the role of the United States?
Well, unfortunately, in the midst of this crisis, the United States is sending more weapons to Ukraine. And as the Secretary General of the United Nations said, without mentioning the United States, the incendiary rhetoric saying that Russia is ready to invade, Russia is ready to invade. It seems the United States is more anxious for Russia to invade than Russia is to invade. And this is not helpful at all. I think it's a very positive development that Zelensky has basically recognized that the Ukraine will not enter NATO, and that is a positive thing. And all of the diplomatic efforts that are going on are extremely helpful and necessary. And we hope there will be an off-ramp, because the possibility of war is just unacceptable. Our members, our friends in Congress, are trying to say to the administration that they cannot go into any military conflict without first going to Congress, which is something that would back up the administration. And so we're hoping that diplomacy will prevail, but we have to recognize that things continue to be extremely, extremely tense.
And, Medea, you mentioned that Zelensky appears to recognize that the membership in NATO will have to be postponed, or, as he says, maybe a dream. But it's in the Constitution. Back in 2019, the Ukrainian government actually amended its constitution to say membership in NATO is a goal of the country. Is it your sense that Zelensky also has to deal with more right-wing elements within the Ukraine that continue to push him for the NATO membership?
Yes, but NATO has not been ready to...
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday, there will be a mix of sun and clouds at a high of 3 degrees Celsius. Thursday will bring rain at a high of 6 degrees Celsius. Friday will bring a few flurries and a high of minus 7 degrees Celsius. Saturday will bring flurries and a high of minus 5 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be cloudy with sunny breaks and a high of minus 5 degrees Celsius. Monday, there will be flurries and a high of minus 1 degree Celsius. Finally, Tuesday, there will be flurries and a high of minus 3 degrees Celsius.
Vibe with me. Shout out Mismo. I was dropping that Friday, man. This one's for the hip-hop heads, though.
God damn, Mismo.
Music nearly made me depressed. I'm just tired and stressed. Thought I would have a lot more, but I got a little less. 35K streams in a year. That won't even cover the expense that I pay for my tears. Won't even cover 2 hours of studio time. Used to think that the world was mine, but I was young, dumb, and blind. Couldn't even read the signs. They ask why I gotta rap about this sad shit, cause I'm sad shit. 2020 had me really feeling empty. If it wasn't for my shorty, this year would have probably ended me. Forget a punchline, I don't really got the energy. I'd rather drown my sorrows in a bottle of some Hennessy. I'm about to quit rapping and just make it all a memory. Definitely could have been one of the best to do it. But this pain and this music, I don't want to go through it. Paid thousands of dollars, couldn't even get 1,000 back in revenue. Eventually that type of L just gets to you. All this optimism doesn't seem like it could get me through. So I'm throwing in the towel, cause this industry is foul. Man, forget a noun about, I just really want to have. I just really want to scream. I just really need God to divinely intervene. I just really need to be seen, discover from my dreams. I remember going through the same shit at 17, almost 29. What the hell am I not seeing? It's like I'm being held back for a reason. Never thought this would last for years, only a couple seasons. Constantly fighting demons. That last punch got me reaching and gasping for air, like I'm in the ass bins at the highest of tears. I'm just here to enlighten your ears. No sound bites, but on the mic, Mike Tyson your ears and bites of my fears. 2021, I'm coming for my sons, beware. That's a quick turnaround, but I'll never fade away. Gotta make a way, me giving up is some type of shit that I don't ever say. Without signing to a major, do this in a major way. I wrote this letter to myself and fans to say I'm here to stay. Put my hands together as I bow my head, let us pray.
Calgary outfit Sun Glaciers announce a new album, Subterranea, and share its second track, Avoidance, an epic post-punk scorcher, fueled by a restless drumbeat and an alarming synth hook atop inhuman screams from Louis Za, Roman 66, the Black Greek god. With us today, we have Mathieu Blanchard of Sun Glaciers. Hi, Mathieu, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Sheila, thanks so much.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you became involved in Sun Glaciers.
Yeah, so my name's Matt Blanchard. I got in Sun Glaciers with Evan back in 2017. Mm-hmm. He was kind of jamming with a couple of guys, but it wasn't really working out. He was recording the first EP with a great drummer called Chris Dadge in Calgary, who's kind of a jazz guy and also Chad Van Galen's drummer and also has his own projects. Evan was looking for other people to kind of get together with to start this project. And I had just left a couple of bands. We went on a few big kind of tours and it kind of just fizzled out. So I was kind of bandless all of a sudden. I went from kind of two or three to kind of none in a heartbeat. And Evan was at the same time looking for somebody and Chris Dadge kind of linked us up. And the rest is history. It's just been a great time since then. He's really become one of my best friends.
What is your background as a musician and music producer?
So I've been playing music for a long time now, since I was 18, 19 years old. And is when I started my first band. And I've just been plugging away since then. So a good 15, 20 years now. Played in bands in Halifax for a long time. And then a little bit overseas in Dublin and in England. And then here in Calgary. And so I moved to Calgary about in 2012. And so I've been playing in bands since then. And just recently started recording a lot of bands. So I play in a few other projects and I'm recording those and kind of producing music with those.
Who are your current bandmates and what does everyone play or do?
Right. So we have Nisa Brown, who is a phenomenal just all-arounder. She plays just about everything in this project from, you know, guitar and stringed instruments, also a sampler, you know, drums. She'll just do it all. And then we got Kyle on bass, plays in this great industrial kind of punk band called Dry Heave, and he's laying it down on bass. And then there's me and Evan, who kind of write the songs and arrange them. And then I play drums when we play live, and Evan plays mostly guitar and sings.
Who are your producers, and where and how did they produce your latest album, Subterranean?
Pretty circularly in the end, if you look back or take a bird's eye view, I guess, you know, of doing one of our first records with Chris, who was Chad's drummer. And recently, so for Subterranean, so Chad Van Galen helped us co-produce it with Evan and I, where he was initially gonna record the record, but then the pandemic happened. So we scrapped, you know, obviously the recording in person with them. And at the very same time that happened, when the pandemic started, Evan and I kind of got a hold of this great studio in Calgary that does voiceover mostly during the day. So it's kind of a voiceover studio, you know, if you call WestJet and there's somebody, you know, on hold, they'll do that kind of stuff. We got access to that for the evenings and weekends because of an old friend of ours who works there. We started recording there on our own. After a time, we kind of wanted to pivot and maybe get Chad to mix it. He wasn't super keen for that. So instead, he just offered to kind of just lay a bunch of stuff down on the record. And that's how it ended up working is we kind of wrote all these songs, recorded them, added a bunch of stuff to them, and then we sent them all to Chad. And he just, you know, gave us a few suggestions and then mostly just laid a bunch of stuff down on a lot of the tracks, filled it out with a bunch of cool kind of percussions and electronic sounds. And some cool synths, even some guitar and even some singing. And so we just went back and forth with him a bunch and that's how the record was made.
May we listen to some of your music?
Yeah, please, absolutely.
This is Avoidance on the Wednesday Morning After.
You fall.
What is the future like for the next year? What are your plans musically for Sun Glaciers?
We're just about to head out here. We're going to the States in March, and we're going to hit up Montreal and Toronto just before then. So we're playing in Montreal on the 4th, I believe, Friday the 4th, and then Toronto on the 3rd. And then after that, we dip down to the States to play some shows in upstate New York and New York City and Washington. And then we make our way through the very exciting to get our way back to Toronto and then fly back to Calgary. And then we're going to release our record at the end of March here in Calgary on the 25th. We're going to play a release show here and then play another show in Edmonton. And then in May, we're looking at probably going back down to the States, but doing the West Coast this time. Who knows, hopefully the world's coming back kind of out of COVID, and there's more, more festivals and more stuff going on, and we just start hopping on more and more shows and more tours.
May we hear some more of your music?
Absolutely.
This is Subterranea on CKUT. If our listeners want more information, some free listening time, or to buy your music, where should they go?
So Bandcamp is the best spot by far. Otherwise, we're on all the big platforms, YouTube and all those. And then you can buy our records at your local, after March 25th, at your local record shop. It'll be out there at all your local record shops or through us directly on Bandcamp.
Do you have a website?
I believe we do. I believe it's just sunglaciers.com.
Sunglaciers.com. And can you purchase your album there? And will you give a list of concert dates?
I believe the best spot to pick up the album would be Bandcamp for now. A list of concert dates. Yeah, that's certainly on the website. And that'll be all over our social media as well.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Yeah, thank you, Sheila.
You've been listening to Mathieu speaking about his band, Sun Glaciers. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
If it appears that COVID-19 symptoms like cough, fever, sore throat, and loss of taste and smell are beginning to present themselves, you can begin to self-isolate and take a rapid test at home. After getting your test results, you can learn more about proper self-isolation guidelines by visiting quebec.ca/self-isolating. This information is there to help protect you and everyone living under the same roof. All of us can make a difference, so let's keep making sure all of us are safe. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
En présence de symptômes de la COVID-19, comme la toux, la fièvre, le mal de gorge, la perte du goût ou de l'odorat, isolez-vous et faites un test rapide à la maison. Pour en savoir plus et connaître les consignes d'isolement à respecter pour vous et ceux qui vivent avec vous selon votre résultat de test rapide, consultez québec.ca/isolement. On continue de se protéger. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Hello, lovely people, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized informative podcast designed to be listened to in the shower, but really you can listen to it wherever you want.
The point of this podcast is that we take the mystery questions of the world. Listeners send in those questions, and we debunk them in a bite-sized informative way. Thus far, we've answered questions like,
why do men have nipples?
Where did the idea of a three-course meal come from?
What is an itch?
Why do most black cats have a white spot?
Why does coffee make you poop?
Why do our fingers wrinkle in the bath?
And loads, loads, loads more.
I suppose you could say,
we expand your mind while you wash your behind.
And this week is no different.
This week is absolutely no different.
This week's question comes in from a Miss Jennifer O'Neill, who is an optometry student. Mm. And she wants to know, why do we cry when we're sad? Okay, so as I said, this question was asked by Jennifer O'Neill, who was studying optometry.
How are you, Jennifer? It's such a good question. Like, do you know what? I assume crying when you're chopping an onion, for example, is due to like a chemical in the onion that makes your eyes water. But I'm so confused as to like why our initial response to sadness is to cry.
I completely agree. Like, from the outside, I cannot figure it out at all. How come when we're sad, our mouth doesn't water? Or why doesn't our nose water? Why is it our eyes?
Like, is there something in the tears that you need to get out of your body that's causing the sadness?
Well, that's actually a very good place to start. Shall we crack on?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Go on.
Okay, cool. So crying can be scientifically defined as the shedding of your tears in response to an emotional state.
Okay.
Which is very different from lacrimation, which is the non-emotional shedding of tears.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so next time I feel an onion of wind, or the next time I feel the gas of an onion blowing into my eyes, you can be like, Marcus, stop lacrimating.
Next time I see the gas of you rubbing into my eyes, I will say, Marcus, stop farting.
Lacrimation is like the involuntary crying. Is that right? So like when you're no. cutting an onion and all the wind gets into the wind of the onion, the gas from the onion gets into your eyes. You're not crying. You're lacrimating.
Lacrimating is non-emotional. Crying is emotional.
Okay.
So with that said, your plumbing apparatus that makes your tears is all exactly the same.
So there's not one duct for sad tears and another duct for like onion tears.
No, there's
okay.
not.
Right.
So the tear plumbing system is the
same. I love
that
you're calling this a plumbing system.
I know.
Yeah, you have faith pipes. Go on.
The tear plumbing system is the same, but the actual tears are different.
Really?
Yeah, but before we talk about that, we're going to explore the science of tear production and how it links to the emotional center of our brain.
Okay.
Okay, so let's create a scenario. Marcus, give me an example of a time you might cry.
I don't know. Your team losing the championship.
Waking
up and realizing that you have the fear and that you acted like an idiot last night. Maybe like it's a character dying in a movie. Or what? Okay. What about like your pet hamster kicking the bucket?
Perfect. Okay, so poor little Haptor the hamster takes his last breath and rolls over.
Oh God.
I know. The production of tears can begin. It is all down to your lacrimal system, which is like your internal drain system that sits next to your eyeball. It is both a secretory system that produces your tears and an excretory system that drains them. When a tear is produced from the lacrimal gland that sits in between your eyeball and eyelid, you spontaneously blink, which spreads the tear as a film across your eye.
So your lacrimal gland creates like a bubble of water.
Yeah.
And then you blink and that brings the bubble to your eye.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, like, that's crime. But like, what next?
Okay, so you know the riddle. You come to a fork in the road, one last travelled, and you have to decide which one where to go?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly what happens. So this tear has two options. Firstly, it can drain off down the lacrimal punctum.
That is difficult to say. Lacrimal punctum. Listeners overseas, no matter where you are right now, just try and say lacrimal punctum.
Lacrimal punctum.
Anyway, yeah.
So the tear has two options. Firstly, it can drain off down the lacrimal punctum, kind of like the sink plug in your kitchen, which subsequently makes the tear kind of drain through your nose.
Is that why your nose runs when you cry?
Exactly.
You're actually crying tears.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
however,
God.
However, Haptor the hamster meant the world to you, and you were having a really, really good old sob. And so your lacrimal drainage system simply cannot deal with that volume of tears. So
right.
The lacrimal punctum just cannot take that amount of tears. So this results in excess fluid streaming over your eyelids and down your cheeks.
Okay, so you mentioned that there's different types of tears, yeah?
Yeah.
If I'm with you so far, when you start crying, be it lacrimation or an emotional tear, your tear duct produces a bubble, you blink, and it spreads across your eye. It can either drain through your eye, down through your nose, through the lacrimal punctum.
Yeah.
Or it can be overwhelmed and you can cry and the tears go down your cheeks.
Exactly.
But yeah, as you mentioned, there's different types of tears. How are the tears that you're shedding for your hamster different from, like, onion chopping tears? What's the emotional link between the sadness of Haptor the hamster passing away, flooding your eyes?
Right, well, to answer the first part of your question, yes, there are different types of tears. So we've talked a lot on this podcast about how amazing the human body is. And this is just another piece of evidence. You don't just make one type of tear, you make three. So there's a basal tear, a reflex tear, and a psychic tear.
A psychic tear?
Yeah.
But it's all water streaming from your eyes, but they are actually different.
Yeah, they are actually different. So your basal tears keep your eyes from getting dry and are pretty much just functional tears.
Right, okay.
Next is your reflux tears, which help you wash out any irritants from your eyes, from, you know, any foreign particles or vapors from an onion, as an example.
Ah, okay. So that's like, it's like an involuntary reflex for your body.
Yeah, exactly.
And so lastly, emotional tears?
Exactly. So finally are your psychic, our crying tears. These are the tears produced in response to any strong emotion you may have experienced, from stress, pleasure, anger, sadness, or, you know, suffering a physical pain.
Right. So obviously physical pain is another one. Why cry as opposed to just like screaming or anything like that?
Well, psychic tears are found to contain a natural painkiller called leucine enkephalin, which is perhaps part of the reason why you might feel better after a good cry.
Hang on, because psychic tears have painkillers in them?
Yeah.
What?
Isn't that nuts?
That's insane.
I know. Okay, but back to the emotion. That's just kind of like a bonus fact.
Yeah.
Back to the emotion. What links crying and emotions? Well, there is an area of your brain specifically to deal with your emotions. And this is called the limbic system, which is hardwired into your autonomic nervous system. That's the part you don't have any control over.
So is that why we don't really have that much control over our emotions? Like, you know, if we get angry, we're angry all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And like, you have to take a step back to control that. It's like that knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, absolutely. So this system, which is the system that deals with your emotions, called the limbic system, via a neurotransmitter, has a degree of control over the lacrimal tear system.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's this tiny molecule which then stimulates tear production. So in short, your emotional reaction to your hamster dying triggers your nervous system, which in turn orders your tear-producing system to activate.
Okay, so the limbic system, which is the area of your brain that deals with emotions, is linked to your tear system, your lacrimal system, via a neurotransmitter which stimulates tear production. So sadness triggers your nervous system, which orders your tear system to leak out those water bubbles which you blink and then either go down your cheeks or through your nose.
Exactly.
So what's the point of tears then? I mean, the human body is amazing, so surely there has to be a reason why this happens.
It kind of is. It's like, it's a simple expression in response to a stimulus. So some people, psychologists and doctors, suggest that it's a form of non-verbal communication to elicit help and support from those around you in a time of need.
So do you think it's like, it's a subconscious way of asking for help without asking for help?
Exactly.
In the way that, like, you know, babies cry.
Exactly.
It's a really, really primal thing that if you see someone crying, you're like, gotta help them.
Yeah, it's a non-verbal way of asking for help. If you don't feel comfortable asking for help, if you cry, if you see me cry, you'd come to my aid, and vice versa. It's that simple. And there are also some psychologists who believe that you feel better after a cry because of that social input, the way that you're solidifying relationships with those sharing in the experience. So if I'm crying and you come to my need, yeah, and I feel like I've shared that problem with you, I feel lighter. And a problem shared is a problem halved.
And it's nonverbal.
It's nonverbal. So this is kind of what we see a lot in Hollywood movies, that friends rally around each other to help.
Okay, right. So like somebody's crying and then everyone comes in and they all have a big hug and then they go and beat the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that literally that.
Also, yeah. Also, if we're using Haptor the hamster as an example, if we shared Haptor the hamster and we're both crying, we're getting kind of a sense of togetherness from that crying.
Of course.
And you're sharing the... you're sharing the loss, and it's kind of justifying your feeling of sadness because you're sharing with someone else.
So I can understand. I can get behind that. So I have one question, though. I don't know if it's true or not, but like just looking at myself and lad friends of mine, do women actually cry more than men? And if so, why?
Okay, so psychological studies have found that on average, this is nuts, that women cry 3 to 5 times more often than men.
Well, how often do women cry?
Women cry about 2 to 5 times a month, apparently.
Oh my God. So yeah. A man could, like, on average only cry every 6 months to a year.
Yeah. Which is absolutely bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh yeah. My God.
So there's kind of a few weird explanations about this. Nothing is really set in stone, but there's a good one. A study that came from 2012 found that women have 60% more prolactin, which is the reproductive hormone that stimulates the production of milk mm-hmm. in women after childbirth, than the average male. So they have 60% more right. prolactin than men. Emotional tears are especially high in prolactin, which could explain why women cry more often than men.
Oh my God. So are you actually leaching out prolactin in your tears?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, which is crazy. Another thing is to do with testosterone levels. So testosterone can be the reason that men are crying less. For example, men who are treated with prostate cancer drugs see reduced testosterone levels and are more likely to cry because testosterone seems to have an inhibiting influence on crying.
That is absolutely incredible. I mean, like the fact that, you know, prolactin is a hormone which can affect your happiness levels, and by crying, you're actually like removing it from your body, and also the testosterone inhibits crying. That is bonkers.
Moral of the story, it's so good to cry. Everyone should cry.
Everyone should cry.
Well, there you have it. I hope you didn't cry during that episode. Or maybe you did. That's okay,
maybe.
Too.
Maybe you lacrimated.
Maybe you lacrimated. Guys, thank you so much for dedicating your ears to us for the last 15 or so minutes. If you are like Jennifer and you have a question that you would like debunked in a bite-sized yet informative way, you can get us on social media.
It's really, really easy to find us. Just look up In The Share with Taz and Marcus on Facebook, or if you're on Twitter, look up at In The Share Pod.
If you want to do it the email kind of way, you can send in your questions, our comments, our pictures, or just say hello to intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
We're still waiting for pictures of dogs every day, so send us pictures. We don't care if your dog's ugly. We like ugly dogs. Probably more than we like pretty dogs.
A few thank yous to wrap up the episode.
A massive thank you to Alan and Paddy and all the crew in the Headstuff Podcast Network. Make sure you check out some of the other podcasts on Headstuff. Add them to your subscribe list. They're absolutely brilliant.
Next up, thank you so much to Flo Robinson, who did our cover art. We love you, Flo.
We love you, Flo. You are a legend. Thank you also to Dave Gertzman, who came up with our theme music. It's very catchy. If you want a jingle, get in touch with them on Instagram at Dave's Recordorama.
Next week's question, Marcus.
Next week's question actually comes from my dad, Sean O'Lara. He's asked a deep philosophical question. Are human beings naturally good or naturally bad?
Ooh, I'm excited for that one.
Oh, God.
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning.
When the sun comes out.
This morning, baby.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Now every morning when I wake up,
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up,
7:30 every morning. Get the same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8 heures demain matin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Early in the morning.
Riding a bike made of bacon and eggs.
In the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Why should the sun replace the moonlight?
Has this ever happened to any of you? Or will it happen to any of you on the morning after the night before?
Looking back on these years, all those time spent living life with my peers. But when the night ends, it's hard to hide from what's going on. Girl, we're moving so fast, both hands on the wheel. I just hope I don't crash. Through my highs and lows, you gave me life. I paid my dues, you gave the best advice. We're far from home, but when I hit the light, I see no one around. I've been running from my ways, hiding from my fate, trying to find my way back to you right now, baby. Is that all you gotta say? After all we made, I'm still trying to make it back to you right now, baby. Cause I see no one around. I've been running from my way, tired of my fate, trying to find my way back to you. So far from the person I was. Crazy how much shit changed this year. Some friends turn to distant memories, some of them I still wish were here. I can't hold you back, I wish you the best. I wish some things were always this clear. I can't settle down right now. It's hard for me to love right now. Text messages from all my exes, hoping that we get back together. I know that you pray for my love. If I told you I would stay forever, but my time jaded through the bezel. This time, girl, it's for the better. Cause when I hit the lights, I see no one around. I've been running from my ways, hiding from my fate, trying to find my way back to you right now, baby. Is that all you gotta say? After all we made, I'm still trying to make it back to you right now, baby. Tell me you're mine now, baby. Cause I see no one around. I've been running from my way, tired of my fate, trying to find my way back to you right now, baby.
No.
terre de l'autre côté du volcan. Je rêvais plus loin que la forêt en direction du levant. Et j'ai descendu la rivière de la montagne jusqu'à la mer. Une photo, quelques pièces et un couteau. Je n'avais même pas de valise. Les bateaux glissent lentement sur l'eau. Sur le sable j'agonise.
Tu sais, tu tweets.
J'entends un bruit.
Tu sais, tu tweets.
Le rire de ce merle.
J'entends
un bruit.
Tu sais, tu tweets.
Le rire de ce
gone. We were meant to stay forever, but we've already faded into the void. Look, we already lost.
Wait from the top again.
One day we'll see the good old days can wait to pave the way. Turn back our tracks, we back and jump back to the starting line. One day we'll see the old days.
Well, that wraps up the Wednesday Morning After for this week. Keep on listening to CKUT.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
4 février 2021, vous écoutez l'émission Sleepy King Radio sur les ondes CKUT.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. And will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them that I won't be long, and they'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.